boating season started early this year. How's the safety gear looking on your watercraft? Do the life jackets fit everyone on board? How's the fire extinguisher looking? Does the engine on the boat or jet ski need a tune-up? Take time now to look these things over. The middle of a lake or reservoir is a bad place to be if these items aren't available or aren't in good working order. A safe summer boating season begins by being prepared. Sponsored by the Wyoming Game and Fish, the Wyoming Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Is it tinnitus? Is it tinnitus? Regardless, it's annoying. Hi, this is JT with Ebia Hearing. Ringing in your ears isn't something you have to just live with. Tinnitus affects millions, and treatment has come a long way. From specialized hearing aids to breakthrough therapy like Lanier, we can help reduce tinnitus symptoms over time. Relief is possible. At Ebia Hearing, our specialists can help you find the right path forward. Call 674-8920 to schedule your hearing loss or tinnitus consultation today. That's 674-8920.
The media attacks him. The insiders attack him. The political establishment attacks him. Why? Because Chuck Gray gets results. Chuck Gray stood with President Trump and fought to keep President Trump on the ballot. And he defended election integrity, requiring proof of citizenship to vote. Chuck stopped a massive foreign-owned wind project from taking over Wyoming land. And stopped China, because Chuck Gray will always take the fight to America's enemies. In Congress, Chuck will protect girls' sports, take on the woke agenda, and stand with President Trump. President Trump noticed Chuck Gray's America First work.
Chuck Gray. Great job, Chuck.
The attacks are fake. Chuck Gray is fighting for Wyoming values, Wyoming families, and Wyoming's future. Wyoming doesn't back down, and neither does Chuck Gray.
I'm Chuck Gray, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Citizens for Chuck Gray.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Tuesday, July 14th, from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse, and this morning we are joined by Wyoming Highway Patrol Lieutenant Louis Tegdesh and our Captain Eric Jorgensen. Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
Now, Wyo Rodeo Week has come to an end. Well, at least the real busy part for you guys out there. How did things go from the Highway Patrol's perspective?
Overall, it went really well, I think. There wasn't any major events that we responded to. We had plenty of coverage, guys working together, working with other agencies, having a partnership, and just helping each other out, making plenty of traffic stops, and it went pretty smoothly overall.
That's fantastic to hear. Captain, I've spoken with the chief. I haven't gotten an opportunity to talk to the sheriff this year about it, but speaking with Chief Koltiska, the scheduling of fellow officers, the coordination between law enforcement agencies within the area, this starts pretty early with you guys.
Yeah, I mean, we're in the situation that we're into with our agency right now. It was a little tricky adjusting schedules, moving people around so that we could have as many people as we possibly could have out at the end of the week. So when you look at our schedules, we operate under a 40-hour work week, 40-hour pay period. And so we have to move days off and adjust days off around so we can get people to where they need to be. The lieutenant did a great job of moving some stuff around, getting some people some days off earlier in the week so that they could spend time working at the end of the week. We utilized a little bit of grant overtime to be able to get some guys to stay out a little later, and get everything put together. But yeah, I tell you what, we've been doing this for quite a while now, about 10 years, where we've really beefed up what our response is to the rodeo, and it's gone pretty smoothly. So it kind of, it's nice when you can just look back and go, what did we do last year? Yep, let's just do that. That looks good. Yeah. So we're just going to keep rolling with that.
And then why reinvent the wheel over and over again?
Yep.
LT, are there opportunities for highway patrol patrolmen like there are for deputies and the SPD when it comes to, hey, I got an extra duty Does anyone want to jump in voluntarily and kind of get some OT time, things like that?
As far as the rodeo goes, or just like
in general?
In general, yeah. There's a few opportunities. It's more of a statewide thing, of course, because we have troopers spread out throughout the state.
Yeah.
So say we have a special response team. We have two guys within this area that are part of that team, and it can involve travel. They've had trainings in Casper, Cheyenne, different areas where their troopers from around the state come together and train with each other. So that if something comes up and they're called to a critical incident, they're on the same page. They know each other. They can work together. And some of it might involve overtime. We've been trying to watch that a little bit lately, but it can be inevitable.
Yeah.
So, for example, it was, about a month ago where we had the incident down in Bags where that deputy was shot.
Yeah.
And initially they called out troopers from around the state that's part of that team to start responding because they don't know how long this is going to last. So we had our guys up here respond. Fortunately, it ended and they didn't have to go all the way and they could come back here to Sheridan and either work their regular shift or if they're on a day off, they could go home. But yeah, there's that. We have a canine team for the state and they're spread out a little bit. We had one in this area until our trooper retired a couple of years ago. Fortunately, we have him back. He came back.
Oh, wow.
Not the canine. The canine is at his house and enjoying retirement. So, yeah, there's different opportunities. We got crash team guys, which that's one of the more important aspects of this job. That's what we do. And we want to put together a very professional crash investigation. And our crash team commander is the captain sitting next to me. So I think they're in good hands. However, we need more people to get involved with that around the state. And that costs a lot of money, too, with the equipment they use, the GPS systems and stuff to map up scenes and all that.
Oh, so, wow.
But that's a critical aspect of this job when you're talking about people's lives, lawsuits, just closure for families and stuff. So that's one of the more important parts of it.
Now, when it comes to Rodeo Week, do we have a significant increase in traffic or is it somewhat? I know it's expected, obviously, because you've been doing it for so long. But has it ever taken you by surprise where you're just kind of sitting there going, wow, we got a lot of folks coming into town?
I don't think it's necessarily a surprise. All these guys working here, most of them have been around this area for a while. Some have worked for other agencies within Sheridan County. So they're well aware of what the Sheridan Wild Rodeo brings. However, like if you're sitting out on the interstate like I was last week, you know, earlier in the afternoon before a lot of the stuff gets going inside Sheridan, there's a lot of just people traveling on I-90, I-25 on their summer vacations. Like,
not having anything to
yes,
do with the road.
They don't even know what's going on, but there's been a lot of traffic on I-90 as well. And it's usually throughout the day and then it dies off in the evening when people are finding their hotels for the night or whatever. But we had starting Wednesday night, we had extra guys out. Like the captain said, we adjusted some schedules so we could have the maximum amount of coverage possible. And so one night, I think there's five or six guys, then seven guys on Thursday night, eight on Friday night, not including myself. I didn't really get to enjoy that working with them because we have day shift we have to cover too. So we don't want to leave any shift with nobody working. But and then Saturday the same, I think there was maybe seven people out. Even the captain came out Saturday night. So because you know what, we still enjoy doing that kind of thing and working with people.
That's kind of the high point of the job itself. I mean, yes, it's great to, you know, get the bar and then get the bars, but there is a separation that occurs.
Man. Oh, man.
It's a little rough.
It's good to go back and do it and remember what it's like to be a cop and remember why you started to do the job and get to go have fun. And my wife looks at me and she's like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "Look, I get to be a real cop today. Okay? don't make fun of me. Yeah. I'm excited to go be a real cop today. Like, don't pick on me like that. I'm not behind my computer sitting at my desk. I actually get to go do something." So,
well, they say it's lonely at the top for a reason. Don't they? You're sitting in your office while your guys are out there having the fun. I think it was Thursday, maybe Friday early. I was leaving town just as I'm getting ready to round that first hill where you get that beautiful view of Sheridan. It's one stop. I thought, oh, yep, they're out. They're on it today. And I bet I didn't get, I don't know, quarter mile, another stop. I was like, oh, they are really out today. They're not messing around. So when we look at that situation, and because 9 times out of 10, you're going to see a highway patrolman out there alone. That's one component of the job that we've talked about quite frequently. Yeah. When you see two in a row, it's almost kind of a shock. Because you guys have got a lot of area to cover. I'm not going to say you're spread super thin, but, you know, definitely not in abundance. But when I saw one stop right after the other, I was like, oh, man, that guy's just having a bad day. He got the worst hand in the deal on that one because they were both there in that situation. Now, when you look at the challenges that actually come with increased traffic during rodeo, as you said, you got vacationers, you got people coming and going. What are those challenges that you really sit down and look at your teams and say, okay, let's remember X, let's remember Y and Z and get out there?
Yeah. So, I would say one of the big challenges is the geographic expanse, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's a big area. Wyoming's a pretty large state. Just in this area, Sheridan County, Johnson County, there's 512 miles of roads that are either interstate, U.S. highway, or state highway. So that's a lot of lane miles to cover. Now, some of those roads are not heavily traveled. I can think of like the two-lane highway that parallels I-25 going from Buffalo south to Casey. That road doesn't get a ton of traffic on it, but
a lot of residents. People.
Yeah, it's residential traffic moving in and out. So the interstates obviously are the big areas that we have to cover. But as far as that strategy of looking at how do we best deploy our people to make sure that we're making the biggest impact that we can to highway safety, to keeping people safe, getting through our communities, getting through our state. The biggest challenge would be just the geographic size and then what we have for available manpower, because there could be times where it is one or two guys that are covering that 512 miles of road.
Wow.
And so just being in an optimal place where you can make the impact that you can, and then knowing that you may have to respond quite a distance if something comes up. So that's really the big struggle and things that we have to always be aware of and pay attention to. And I tell you what, one of the things that's always been really cool that I've seen throughout my career is a good trooper that's been around for a while. They just tend to know where they need to be. You can ask some of the guys that are out here. I think like Adam Balthazar is one of our sergeants. You could ask Adam at any time, okay, this time of day, where would you see the most traffic where you could make the biggest impact? And he could tell you, like, from this milepost to this milepost on this road is where I'm going to see the most amount of traffic, where I need to be so that I can help get people through, make sure that people are being safe, and make the biggest impact. So it's really cool to see that as guys just work an area and they get to know their area well. And they're like, okay, these are our commuter areas. These are our heavy tourist areas. These are the areas where we may see an increase in crashes because of wildlife, right? As the sun's going down in the evening, where those roads where we have a lot of wildlife that are moving across there. So it's just learning that area and understanding the dynamics of that area. And that's something that we kind of push early on in a new trooper's career is them learning and understanding where they need to be, how they can best impact the area.
You keep track of how many miles your troopers are covering within a year?
Yeah, so our guys have to report their miles once a week. They actually report the number of miles that they drive each week.
That's incredible. How many miles, to your memory, have you covered this month?
Not that many.
Well, you guys are.
I have a lot of responsibility, like to go over reports and stuff like that. So not nearly as much as when I was working the road.
Yeah,
like as my main task. But like to think in years past, you'd put on 50,000 miles a year, you know, 1,200 miles a week.
Wow.
You know, sometimes 800 miles a week. It depends. But like the captain said, with the area and sometimes having to respond such long distances, it can add up quickly. So, and it also depends on how the trooper likes to work. So I kind of like sitting in the median and being able to see, you know, watch traffic from both sides and stuff like that. And then you're not driving as much. And other guys, they feel more comfortable driving and you know, going down the highway and then hitting other roads and stuff like that. But so it can vary from trooper to trooper, but it's not uncommon to go 800 miles a week or more.
Incredible. That's really getting at that. Now, Captain, I got one more question. And then I got to take a quick commercial break. But there was always, and we see it in Hollywood a lot, you know, the highway patrolman or the sheriff hiding behind the billboard, you know, really, what do they call them? Speed traps.
Oh, yeah.
Speed traps that are out there. But I haven't, and I drive this road a lot, and I haven't seen that. What I see is coming up over the hill, way down in the middle of the valley, and there's a lot of pits, highs and lows from here to Buffalo, you'll see a car sitting in the middle of the median. Mm-hmm. Visible as visible. When did that tactic of being as visible as possible really take off to your memory? As opposed to hiding
speed trap. So I think part of it is too where we can sit based off of where the crossover is. So there's geographically, again, just where can a guy go and sit? But one of the things, it's not just, I mean, that's everybody looks at what we're doing and we're just looking for the guy that's driving really fast, which we are, but there's a lot more to that as well as we look at the psychology of a criminal. And when somebody may be doing something that's nefarious, that's bad, that we want to really look at what's that person doing. The guilty conscience, because they know that they have done something that they shouldn't have done, or they have something in their vehicle that they shouldn't be in possession of, those kind of things. How do they respond when they see that vehicle?
When they come up over that hill and they're, that's a patrolman.
Yeah. So you're going to get some people that are like, oh man, I'm speeding. And so they hit the brakes and they slow back down to a more reasonable speed than what they should have. But then you get the person that maybe is doing something that they shouldn't be doing beyond just how they're traveling. And they're going to slow way down.
Yeah.
And then they don't want to look at you. And there's things that guys look at and go, okay, why did this person respond so differently than other traffic does to my presence? And is there something more? And sometimes it's nothing. Sometimes it truly is just that person that's like really, really nervous. I had the chance to encounter some young drivers this weekend, real young drivers. And there was a young man that was in the car that was just sweating bullets. And I'm like, man, are you okay, bud? And he's like, yeah, I'm just really, really nervous. And I'm like, what are you so nervous for? I've never been in a car before that got pulled over. And I'm like, dude, we're people too, man.
Yeah.
Like we're, it's no big deal. In fact, you're sitting in the back seat. I'm not even really too concerned unless there's something back there that I need to know about. And he's like, no, sir, I promise. I'm not doing anything wrong. I promise you. And he was just a super nervous kid.
Right.
And it was a good opportunity to sit and talk to him.
Yeah.
And just be like, man, like we're people too. Like I'm not here to try and get anybody in a lot of trouble. I'm just here to make sure people are being safe. That's literally all I'm here for.
Yeah.
But I'm just another person just like you, man. It's not that big a deal. It's going to be okay.
On that, we're going to take a quick commercial break. More with our Wyoming Highway Patrol in just a moment. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust invites you to the Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes.
Now through July, every eligible purchase with your First Federal MasterCard debit card earns an entry.
You don't have a card? Open an account online to start participating.
The more you use your card, the more chances you earn.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago, or prepaid MasterCards worth $1,000 or $500.
The Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes on now at First Federal Bank and Trust. Go to efirstfederal.bank for full details.
Legacy Diamond and Gems invite you to see their special display, Great American Gems, showing gemstones mined right here across the United States, featuring Montana Yogo sapphires, rare Utah red beryl, and a variety of beautiful gemstones from Arizona, California, Idaho, Maine, Montana, Oregon, and of course, Wyoming. Great American Gems, see them now at Legacy Diamond and Gems, 11 North Main in downtown Sheridan.
The Sheridan Farmers Market is back for another great season at Whitney Commons Park. You'll find local produce, meat, eggs, coffee, baked goods, and outstanding locally handcrafted items this Thursday and every Thursday from 5 to 7 p.m. through September 10th. See the best our hardworking local producers have to offer at the Sheridan Farmers Market, Thursday evenings in Whitney Commons Park. Sponsored in part by Sheridan Media. And remember, please leave your pets at home.
You tell yourself you've got it handled. The rides, the medications, the meals, the cleaning, and the worry. But carrying it all by yourself gets heavy. Synergy Home Care is here to help you breathe again, while making sure your loved one is cared for with patience, respect, and real compassion. From companionship and memory care, to hospital to home support and specialized home care, they show up for the moment that matters most. Visit SynergyHomeCare.com. Call 674-HOME. That's 674-HOME. Synergy Home Care, local family-owned home care you can count on.
Planning a summer road trip? Before you load the kids, the cooler, and the luggage, make one important stop first. Midas Tire and Auto's Ready for the Road event. Midas will give you a free road trip ready inspection, and you can win a $50 gas card from Farmers Co-op. We'll inspect your brakes, tires, battery, lights, fluids, belts, and hoses, and air conditioning. If something needs attention, we can often repair it the same day. And we offer money-saving coupons on oil changes, tires, brakes, shocks, and more. Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're sitting with Wyoming Highway Patrol Lieutenant Louis Tegedesh and Captain Eric Jorgensen, having a couple laughs during the break over some former stops that I've been a part of in the past. It happens to everybody at least once, folks, and as the captain said, they're not there to harass you. They just want to come up, have a conversation, and hey, if you were speeding, probably going to issue you a citation.
But here's one thing, Floyd. In your defense now, I often see you driving between Buffalo and Sheridan, and you are right between the lines, and you're going the speed limit or less, so there you go.
Company car, I got an image I got to keep. I'll tell you, that little car, she doesn't get too spunky. You got to be going downhill to really kind of reach those speeds. But yeah, it's, you know, a lot of that commuters brings up a good point. Something, you know, I'm kind of getting off the subject that I was going to talk to you about. But commuters from Buffalo to Sheridan every day, probably a lot more people than what we think. Are they a big issue for you, or they kind of get it?
I think most of them get it.
Yeah.
A lot of times we're going to be out there in that stretch in the mornings or in the afternoons, and I think They see us pretty often, and that's one of our areas that, as the captain was talking about earlier, are areas where you need to be aware of things happen there. And not only it's more of the people traveling, whether it's for work from out of state, you know, traveling in that area at the time, and they're speeding. Most of the commuters know we're there.
Yeah.
So, and I think they see us pretty often, and they know our spot. So maybe we have to switch that up a little bit once in a while.
Saw two deputy sheriffs out there this morning between the freeway. Just trucks stopped having a conversation. Both of them, you know, kind of catching up on things. But I generally see officers and patrolmen and deputies kind of in the same area, as you said, the problem areas. Now, one thing. I'm running out of time with you, but there is something that I did want to talk about, and I'm glad the captain came in today, because this is an issue that we have talked about in the past, and that is the idea that the Trump administration has actually made marijuana a Schedule 3. Now, Wyoming did not follow suit in that federal change. In the state of Wyoming, marijuana is still a Schedule 1 drug,
yes.
And it is still illegal in all of its forms.
Yes,
in our borders. So when we look at the situation, do you regularly encounter marijuana during traffic stops involving travelers from neighboring states where it is legal in some capacity?
Yeah, for sure. And the guys do such a good job of interacting with those folks, because it is still illegal. It is still a crime in the state of Wyoming, and you watch and you talk to these guys that are interacting with these folks that are going from one place to another, and all of them are really good at just saying, hey, look, I get it. Like, where you're coming from, it's legal. Where you're going to, it's legal, but you can't have it here. So leave it where you're coming from, and then if you want to utilize that when you get to where you're going, then you'll have to pick some up when you get there. But don't bring it through our state, because it is illegal. And they're very polite, very professional in interacting with folks and letting them know that. But there is still a crime to it. We will still take that from you. It is still a crime to possess it. So it is evidence of a crime. And so we will take that drug from you. You're probably going to get a citation for being in possession of it. And then we'll allow you to continue on down the road unless there's large, large quantities.
Now, and that's another question that I was going to ask. You know, back in the day when it was illegal in every state, with transportation of it, kind of like during the old prohibition days, the booze runners back. So we used to see huge quantities being moved from one location to another. With the legalization in our neighboring states, have you seen large quantity busts like you used to?
It's still there. It is definitely still there. No different than if you were to go down south, where your larger tobacco plantations and stuff are. It's illegal to possess tobacco without a tax stamp on it in those southern states. And so you'll see troopers out stopping vehicles and finding a bunch of cigarettes, tobacco without a tax stamp. So there is still a black market for it, to avoid the taxation of the selling of marijuana, the government controlling of the selling of marijuana. And so there is still a movement of that illegal large loads that are still taking place, for sure. They're still there.
Wow. That's interesting. Even just to avoid taxation on the product. Gentlemen, I've run out of time with you. It's always such a pleasure having both of you in here. I learn something new all the time. So thanks for taking the time to come in and speak with me. I'll start waving when I pass every patrol officer. <Good. laughs> I know you guys are watching, and I greatly appreciate you doing so. You and your teams, stay safe.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for everything you guys do.
Thank you.
All right, when we return, we're going to speak with the CASA Center for Families. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
For
First Federal Bank and Trust is launching a community commitment match to support our local fire districts by donating $35,000.
Plus, a Wyoming Community Foundation donor advice fund is matching that amount, and now we're asking the community to help us match an additional $35,000. Sheridan County, let's help fund our local fire districts who protect us every day.
Scan the QR codes in any branch office, check our ad in this week's Country Bounty, or drop off a check at our full-service location at 671 Illinois Street. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Heard the news. Conservative Frank Chapman's running for Congress. Frank's joining President Trump's fight to make America great again. So giddy up, Wyoming.
Frank rides a range at the break of dawn. Loves this land, knows right from wrong. A rancher's grit and a father's heart. He fights for us, and that's just the start. Frank Chapman's our man for Wyoming. Seal the border, hold the line. American energy, American beef, constitutional rights. Yours and mine. Conservative for Congress. That's the plan. Frank Chapman, Wyoming's man.
Protecting property rights, Second Amendment, defending our freedom. That's Frank Chapman.
Make America great. A fighter for us. Wyoming's Frank Chapman. Conservative for Congress.
Paid for by Fighting for Wyoming, fightingforwyoming.com, who is responsible for the content of this advertising, and it is not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Can you bake a pie? Maybe you're someone who gardens and cans your own vegetables. Maybe you do arts, crafts, and culinary. Show off your talents by being part of the Sheridan County Fair Open Class Exhibits. No need to enter early. Just come to the Fairgrounds Exhibit Hall July 30th between 8 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. to enter. Open to Sheridan County, Wyoming residents, plus Bighorn, Powder River, and Rosebud counties in Montana. Visit SheridanCountyFairgrounds.com for more info.
Shan Foster, all-around canine training and country pet in. You love it when a dog surprises you in a training, and that happened recently when you were training a service dog for someone with MS.
Yeah, a challenge. So I watched the dog and the owner work together and just stayed out of it. What I saw was amazing. Goosebumps getting, just thinking about it. She was adopting behavior that would make them more productive, something I didn't teach her. She just offset things that I taught her to what she felt were necessary to accomplish whatever tasks they were performing. Pretty cool.
So even for as many years as you've been doing this, you can still get surprised.
Oh, I know, and that's one of the things about dog training that I love. It's magical. Two beings that don't look anything alike, and they're forming this union. It's the best feeling. It really is. It's hard to describe, but people in their lives with their dogs in different capacities have probably seen little bits and pieces of this as well, and I just get to see it, I think, more often.
Learn more at countrypetin.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. We're brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. With us this morning for our second part is the Compass Center for Families Executive Director, Tiffany Reznor. Good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Thank you so much.
I said the CASA Center for Families, and that that is a component.
It is.
Of Compass, but yep. Compass Center for Families is the proper name, so I apologize. Now, for those who may not be familiar with Compass, what is the mission?
So our mission is partnering to build strong communities by strengthening families.
How do we accomplish that?
That's a great question. At Compass, we do that with four programs. All of those programs operate differently, but they all have the same goal, and that is to support stability, safer relationships, and connection. So that looks like parent education, which is offered in each of our elementary schools for free every year, and also in our community for free with childcare and a meal, which we know is super important. Our parent liaisons, which are in each of the elementary schools and the junior high in Sheridan County, and in kindergarten through third grade in Johnson County. Then we have our supervised visitation program, which provides a safe place for children who've been removed from the home to visit with their loved ones. And then also our CASA program, which most people do know us as. It was our very first program, our flagship program. CASA stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates. And they're volunteers who speak on behalf of children involved in the court system due to abuse or neglect.
When I started my journalism career a number of years ago, that was one of my first stories. An older gentleman who was once a prison guard And he was up there a little long in the tooth, but he still served his community through CASA.
Absolutely.
He was a widower. His kids were grown and gone, but he still wanted to make an impact.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was so honored and humbled to be able to do that for kids. And he was an inspiring man.
Mm.
And when he passed away, I shed a tear.
Yeah.
Because the community had really lost someone. You get some great people down there.
Oh, we do.
Who volunteer and really put their time toward helping mm-hmm. others. Mm-hmm. What inspired you, Tiffany, to get involved in this line of work?
You know, it's interesting because originally when I came to Compass, I was reading a newspaper ad. I had just graduated with my fancy piece of paper from UW. And I had two young kids at home. They were 1 and 4 at the time.
Oh.
And I was looking to get into the field, but I needed something really specific. I needed something that wasn't full time so I could be at home with my kids. And I needed something nights and weekends when my husband was home and could take over childcare. And I saw an ad for supervised visitation providers. And I thought, well, I know a little about that from school. I think that would be an interesting thing to do. So I went and I interviewed and I thought, well, I'll just get my foot in the door. I'll get some experience. 12 years later, I'm still here. And it's because, and I've been so fortunate to be able to do so many different things at Compass. I've worked in all of the programs, done all of the things, because Compass provides families what they need when they need it. So there's not a little bucket that you can put, this is what Compass does. What we do changes as families' needs change. And we get to see families, they're the ones who do the hard work, right?
Yeah.
But we provide the safe, stable, respectful place for them to do that work. And to be able to be a small part of that is inspiring, it's humbling, and it's such a gift that I get to wake up and do that every day.
It's got to be a difficult job on certain...
There are hard days, for sure. There are hard days. There are hard stories. There are hard situations. When those days happen, I remind myself that even when we don't get to see a happy ending, we were a part of planting a seed. We were a part of a family's story that has the possibility for hope and change, even if it didn't happen with us.
Yeah. Yeah. A job like this would take such an emotional toll, I think, because... Mm-hmm. You want the stories and the outcomes to be perfect and okay.
Mm-hmm.
We've got this and they got through it and we're great. But a lot of times that's not going to happen.
Right. Change is hard and it doesn't happen overnight. And it's never just one thing that brings a family to us that we can mark a checkbox and say, okay, we fixed that thing. You're good now. There's always more involved. They need support systems. They need access to good jobs. They need health care. They need housing. They need support to learn how to change patterns of parenting that they learned. There's a lot. So, we don't always get to say, okay, we helped, now you're good. But we know how important it is to help build a support system for families.
And that can last for years.
Absolutely.
Like a family doesn't come in and, as you said, check the boxes and then they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you're dealing with a situation like this, because it's very dynamic, you're involved with this family now.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you feel? Like, we know your reason. So on those tough days, you're like, okay, I'm here because of this. But how do you fill your cup?
Mm-hmm.
How do you come back in with vim, vigor for the day?
That's such a great question. It's changed in my time during Compass. When I was a visitation supervisor, it was... getting to see children interact with their loved ones when they wouldn't otherwise be able to, and there would have been separation. When I was teaching parenting classes, it was seeing a parent learn, oh, I can change things and I can do differently and I don't have to be stuck in this place of shame and regret. I can change it today. When I was working with a program that helped provide supports and resources for families, it was seeing them say, it's hard to ask for help, but I'm going to, and I'm going to be met with dignity and respect, and I'm going to be able to make my life better for my family. Now, in my role as executive director, it's seeing the stories that my staff bring, seeing the impact that their programs have in our community, and getting to be the one that says, hey, guess what? all of these great things happen at Compass, and it's because we partner with organizations like Advocacy and Resource Center, Uprising, Salvation Army, Foster Parent Exchange, and getting to see our community come together to support children and families.
Yeah, every one of those organizations that you've just talked about, I've gotten to speak with those people.
They're incredible.
And they're true.
Yeah.
They're good, true people who are there for the right reasons.
Absolutely.
And again, like your position, hard jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Hard, difficult jobs. And everyone's got to go refill their cup every once in a while. What role do volunteers play? You know, we've got the CASA.
Mm-hmm.
What other roles can they jump into?
So CASA really is our primary program for volunteers. Because of privacy, because of court orders, we really can't have volunteers in like supervised visitation. We sometimes have volunteers who help us with things like facility maintenance or cleanup days, or if we have mailings or events, we can have volunteers for that. But for the CASA program, that really is the primary avenue that if people are interested in volunteering at Compass.
Okay. Now, over the years, being a part of every program there, mm-hmm. and getting that experience, kind of building that up, has there ever been a point, or is there currently now, where you see one program suddenly get an influx where you're like, what is going on? I'm mm-hmm. seeing a lot of folks join this program. I'm going to need to divert some funding over here, mm-hmm. some volunteer hours over here, some staff over there.
Mm-hmm.
Are there trends like that that take place?
Absolutely. I think one of the things that I've been very excited to see in the last couple of years is people recognizing the importance of prevention. Mm-hmm. So stepping in and supporting programs to help a family before a challenge becomes a crisis. So for our programs, like our parent liaison program, they're for everyone. Anyone in the school district can reach their parent liaison for any reason. Do you need a tutor and you don't know where to start? Call your parent liaison. Do you not know how you're going to make rent this month? Call your parent liaison. And so being able to get community and funding support for prevention programs is huge. And it's absolutely how we're going to continue to further our mission.
Now, in a lot of those situations, whether the parent has the control over what's going on or not, mm-hmm. you're going to feel shame. Mm-hmm. You're going to feel guilt. You're going to feel horrible. Wyoming residents, citizens don't like to reach out too far. We've got a sense of pride to us that comes with our culture. What's confidentiality look like at Compass?
Yeah, absolutely. So we protect that. Our office is not an open door office. You can't just come up and walk in. You have to have an appointment. Our facility is locked down. We make sure that we can't tell you that no one's going to know you're coming to Compass. It's a small town, right? They're going to see your car there or they're going to hear something. But what we can promise the families we serve is that no information about them is going to be going anywhere else but Compass. It stays there. It is protected. We're not sharing that outside of what happens in Compass.
Let's talk about funding.
Mm-hmm.
As the executive director, when you got into this position and you really sat down with the budget for the first time,
mm-hmm.
was there anything where you're just like, oh my goodness?
Oh, lots. Yeah, lots and lots.
How are we keeping the ship afloat, guys?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
What sticks out the most?
You know, it's not a secret that funding is a challenge for nonprofits, especially right now. In order for us to meet the needs of the families we serve, which are growing, and the number of families we're serving are growing, in order for us to be here and do that, we have to fundraise. So we have to be creative about how do we let the community know here's the part that you can play? Because it doesn't just happen. We don't just wake up and say, okay, it's all us. We're putting on the cape and it's all us. Our mission and our services happen because our community believes in and invests in strong families. And it wouldn't happen without them. And whether that's grants, which have their place and they're important and they help keep us going, or individual donations or corporate sponsorships, they all are essential in making sure that Compass is doing what it needs to do in our community.
I'm going to ask you a tough question because I speak to 501c3s that share within your mission quite a lot. Has grant funding decreased over the years, the yes. accessibility of that.
Hugely. Yes. Not just are the funds there, but being able to apply for and receive those funds and administer those funds. There are more barriers now than there have been before. There are delays in receiving funding that you've already been allocated. And for some agencies, that can create a huge cash flow problem, mm-hmm. especially for small nonprofits, especially in small communities. So it's definitely something that the board is aware of at Compass and has worked very diligently to say, we need a reserve fund. We need to be able to survive, waves like this. Because I do think it's a wave. I think that there's hope. And I do think that we're going to come back around. But it's definitely harder today yeah. than it was even a couple years ago.
What is YO Gives and what part does that play for you?
YO Gives is huge. So it's a statewide day of giving this Wednesday, July 15th from 12 a.m. to 12:01 p.m. And anyone all over Wyoming can go to yogives.org. There's a search bar. You can find Compass, which we'd love, or any other nonprofit that speaks to you. And you can support them, whether it's sharing their mission, texting your friends and saying, hey, it's YO Gives Day, making a donation. It's huge for Compass because we have a very generous match from the Joe and Arlene Watt Foundation of $25,000.
Wow.
So if we're able to meet that match, that's a huge, meaningful difference for our organization and the families that we serve. It can't be overstated. Also, with YO Gives, we have the huge opportunity through the Hughes Foundation to participate in an incentive pool. The Hughes Foundation has pledged $1 million for the state of Wyoming. So the more that we raise at YO Gives, the more that we receive a boost from that incentive pool. It's not a dollar for dollar match, but it definitely helps us receive more of that.
That's incredible.
It's huge.
And these
huge.
Foundations, you know, we've got a few of them. It's great to see them.
Yes.
Like, you know, I love hearing people say, hey, we got a match.
Mm-hmm.
We got a partnership.
Yeah.
You know, it shows the work really being done. If somebody wants to give to CASA, you said starts literally 12:01 a.m.
Yeah, you can. And actually, there's a prize for the first organization that receives the first donation of the day. So if you're up and you can't sleep and you just feel like helping Compass, go on there as close to midnight as you can and help us win that prize.
Now, we're talking about matches. We're talking about big numbers here, but it's not really the big numbers that get us to our goals.
No,
is it?
I mean,
we appreciate those people. That's mm-hmm. fantastic. We wouldn't be able to make it without them.
Absolutely.
But the little donations that guys like me,
mm-hmm.
guys, you know, regular folks like yep. us can make, that's the impact.
Oh, it adds up. It's huge. Not all of us can do huge things, but all of us can do something. And when we all do that together, it adds up and it makes a difference.
Now, how long have you been executive director up there?
4 years. This
Four
is my
years.
Fourth year. Yep.
Is this what you're wanting to do for?
It's so funny because it was never on my list of things. Hey, guess what I want to do when I grow up? But I can't tell you how fulfilled I am by this role, how grateful and humbled I am to be doing this work today and what I'm doing. So I'd love to do it forever and ever.
If somebody wanted to learn more about Compass,
mm-hmm.
more about CASA, more about another program,
mm-hmm.
what's the best way for them to do that?
The best way is to go to our website, which is compass4families.org. You can see all of our programs, all of our board members and staff. Probably someone you know might be on that page and you didn't even know they were part of Compass. You can reach out and say, hey, tell me more. They can also give us a call, 675-2272, and we'd be happy to tell them more.
Now, CASA, the largest volunteer segment,
mm-hmm.
there is an education component behind that, though.
There is,
when if
yes.
folks get online and they're like, boy, I'd love to do that.
Mm-hmm.
There is some education that comes with that.
There is.
Can you just touch on that?
Yep.
Give me a quick summary. Of
yep.
that.
There's 40 hours of pre-training. A lot of that is self-guided online. Our CASA program manager, Shannon Stickler, walks you through that. Meets with you, make sure that there's not any questions. When you're done with that training course, then you're considered ready to be a CASA volunteer. But we don't just release you into the wild and say good luck. So there's mentoring and training, peer mentoring with other CASA volunteers and also with Shannon. And then you're sworn in as a CASA volunteer and you get assigned your first family and you are supported the whole way through.
Fantastic. One more time. If I want to give to YO Gives
mm-hmm.
or give to Compass through YO Gives,
mm-hmm.
where do I need to go?
YOGives.org.
All right. Tiffany, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come and speak with me. The work that you do is impactful. It's important. And man, I value you guys. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
I'm Maren Borsheim.
And Nicole Pierce with First Federal Bank and Trust.
Right now, qualified homebuyers may receive a mortgage rate up to 1.5% below the current market rate with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage.
Yes, through the Mortgage Rate Relief Program.
It's designed to make buying your primary residence easier and more affordable.
We'll personally help you check eligibility and guide you through the process.
Call First Federal Bank and Trust for all the details or visit efirstfederal.bank.
First Federal Bank and Trust, because your home should be within reach. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Joe Biden and the radical Democrats spent recklessly, raised your taxes, and tried to shut down American energy. Their EPA went after Wyoming ranches and farms. The result? Record prices and inflation. Conservative Steve Freese has a plan to make life affordable again.
People ask me, why does everything cost so much? It's simple. Politicians tax too much and spend too much. As a businessman, I know the value of a dollar and how to balance a budget. Take it from me, we can cut spending. Politicians just have to try. In Congress, I'll tighten government's belt. We'll cut outright fraud and keep taxes low. And more energy production means everything costs less.
Steve's plan? Lower taxes, less regulation, stop the fraud, end the reckless spending, produce more Wyoming energy.
I'm Steve Freese, and I prove this message because I want to keep your money in your pocket.
Paid for by Freese for Wyoming.
Side-by-sides and UTVs are everywhere in Wyoming, but a lot of people don't realize where the coverage gaps are. Your auto policy won't cover it. Your homeowner's policy, very limited, especially off your property. So if someone gets hurt or you end up on a public road, you could be looking at a claim with no coverage or even a ticket. Iron Valley Insurance Group helps make sure your UTV is actually protected. Visit Jessica Weaver, certified insurance counselor in Sheridan, and have that conversation before summer gets busy. Iron Valley Insurance Group, forged in strength, guided by compassion. Request a quote at ironvalleyins.com.
How would you like to win tickets to see Luke Bryan at Metro Park in Billings on July 31st? Well, Cinch Jeans and Shipton's Big R might just get you there. Customers from each Shipton's Big R store will win tickets. Right now, it's all about Cinch Jeans for men, women, and kids. Cinch is the leader in premium Western wear. And it's not surprising because it's all inspired by the attitudes of the Western lifestyle with an adventurous and determined spirit. And Shipton's Big R, we offer your largest and most complete selection of cinch denim, shirts and tops, caps and accessories. And when the weather cools down, outerwear. Even if you don't win tickets, it's a great time to get decked out for the concert in cinch apparel. Luke Bryan tickets, one winner from each store. Brought to you by Cinch, rodeo tested, ranch ready. And Shipton's Big R, branded with quality. Shipton's Big R.
Enjoy your summer in a new GMC pickup, or enjoy the mountain cruise in a new Jeep. Hi, this is Nathan Mullinex, Shared Motors, and I'd like to say thanks for supporting us at Shared Motors. And remember, there's no need to travel out of town to buy a vehicle. We have everything you need. We can meet or beat any deal in town or out of town. Ram is currently offering a 12% rebate on new half-ton pickups, and GMC is offering employee pricing on half-ton pickups. There's no better time to buy. We're working hard for you, so come see us at Shared Motors, your hometown dealer.
From Billings to Buffalo, this is the News Talk Station, FM 103.9 and 930 AM, KROE. KROE.